Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Venus and Vesta Astrology Podcast. Now, this week, on the 15th of March, Mars is going to leave the shadow zone of his retrograde journey in Gemini. Now, that's quite an important event. And not mainly, but Mars has been in Gemini for 7 months, and that's a super long time for one of the faster moving planets to stay in one sign. If you think that Mars takes 2 years to go all the way around the zodiac and you do the math, he takes about 2 months in each sign generally. So to actually spend 7 months, I mean, even if you doubled up, that's not enough. He's actually tripled his time in one sign, and that's obviously Gemini, and really has so many repercussions. And for me, I find it so obvious to see what his action, not just being Mars in Gemini, but Mars retrograde in Gemini, what that really brings about and how we can see it in our media and out in the mainstream right now, because of course Gemini rules what we're talking about, the media and our connections. So truth and lies. So firstly, what does it mean when a planet leaves the shadow zone? So any planet that goes retrograde will have a shadow zone. So of course the area that he goes, or the planet, because it could be a girl, the Venus, but any planet that moves backwards in when they go around, and planets don't actually move backwards. It's just that we're all moving in the same direction, but they're just so far out on a different elliptic that it appears that they're falling back in the signs, falling back by degrees, but they're not actually moving backwards. They're just going a lot slower and they're further out on this. It's not a perfect circle. It's like the oval at the end of the oval, where they're just taking so long to get around the end of that oval that it appears like they're moving backwards. So they'll go back through the degrees. And of course, you know, in this case, it was 25 degrees backwards through to 9 degrees. And so, or was it 8 degrees? Remember, anyway, it goes backwards. It gets to 25 degrees. But of course, at first, it had to get into that point at the 8 degree entrance and move all the way to 25 degrees. And so there's the initial shadow zone. And then it moves backwards, which is the retrograde, back to 8 degrees. And when he moves forward again, he's still going direct, but he's in the shadow zone of the whole retrograde period. So when he gets to 25 again, that's when he leaves the shadow zone. And that is what's happening on the 15th. Because with a retrograde, it's not just the retrograde period that we're looking at, which of course is the most intense part of this whole process, but it's the entering. And, you know, something when the planet enters that shadow zone before the retrograde, you know, sometimes things appear, or mostly things appear, that are then going to have to be analysed or redone, reconsidered, whilst the planet moves retrograde. And so at each end of this shadow zone is always there's sort of pertinent things occurring. So here is Mars. Mars really only doesn't often go retrograde. You know, once over every 2 years, you have a little Mars retrograde. And Mars, of course, is the god of war. He's got this prowess, the Achilles-style prowess of god of war. And he's also the god of sex, which is kind of good news if it's, you know, well-placed in your chart. But he's also, in more realistic terms, he's also where we take energy and where we would have extra energy, and also where we would take determined action. And it's like the clarification of a yes, I'm going, I know with certainty about this, and I'm going to move in that direction. This is what Mars brings to our table. But also conversely, you know, Mars is so strident, he can also be quite angry, powerfully angry, you know, the passions that turn into anger. And so he can also be the no, like this is the cutting off here. And so in a dramatic way, it could be cutting off, but also, as we've probably seen more in this Gemini sense, that it's more of a refinement of taking back layers of ideas rather than the finality, like where Mars is the god or the ruler of Aries. And that's where you would get a much more final chop, finish, complete. Mars is good at completing things. So he has that power as well. And with Mars, we often associate Mars with a knife. You know, he does rule or oversee surgeries and allows for a good precision cutting to occur. And with this cutting, there is also a release. You think of this knife, the knife is going to cut things out and refine it for you and, you know, provide you with a bullseye shot. It's like the almost like the archery with Sagittarius, but not necessarily, you know, the archer is always pointing upwards in Sagittarius, whereas this is much more complicated. And so Mars is also the sword. You know, he's the warrior's sword, which is, you know, frightening and willful. And, you know, we have to pay respect to this. And so with this sword, you can have crosswords or fights. And, you know, this decisive action can be really quite aggressive too. So here, you know, we've had this Mars in Gemini. So this is more like with Gemini, it's the aggression of words and connections and the power of those things that Mars has provided while he's been in Gemini. And also Mars is sex. Mars is actually, I mean, Venus, you could see, you could have Venus is also quite sexy, but she is what you attract, what is attracting you, what you're magnetizing to yourself. Whereas Mars is more of an outward direction. And Mars is like what you are attracted to, what you are going for. And it's like the ding dong when something you like walks in the door. And, you know, the frisson that you feel. And so Mars in synastry is massively important, where it is between two couples, to bring about the right level of flirtation and sexual attraction. Because conversely, you know, that if you're attracted to someone with you have good Mars placements with them, Mars will also bring about the negativity. And especially if you're not owning your anger or you're suppressing your anger or not using it, somebody else will use it. It's still in your chart, so it's going to be used against you. So you often find also in synastry where people's Marses are not aspecting well, that they can have a real negative situations or situations where you could feel a sense of not liking someone, or really they really annoy you for no reason. Your friend was sitting next to you going, well, I didn't think that was that bad. And you're going, yeah, that's really awful. And that's obviously Mars, you know, something that irritates you like that. And often, or if you feel someone is, you've irritated someone, you remember that, you know, they're just throwing their daggers and, you know, that's the time to get out of there. But so as much as it's the chutzpah and the drive that you have to go for something and for see something wonderful in someone, it also works on the negative as well. So Mars in Gemini is going to give energy and drive and extra va-va-va-voom to whatever sign he's in. And so he has been in Gemini, obviously, for 7 months. And Gemini rules the media, rules information, how we speak to each other. And Gemini is the connections that we have, the our digital connections as well, the digital interface that we use, the ID, digital ID, and that's obviously coming up as a hot topic. Gemini rules all the tech and the travel, and of course ruled by Mercury. And we're so familiar with Mercury retrograde, which happens 3 times a year. So in a similar way, where in Mercury retrograde, you have to reconsider, redo, relook at things, go over old ground, and maybe people from the past come back. Mars is the same in the retrograde. You know, we're really relooking at things, or rather, because Mars is so outwardly focused, when it goes retrograde, we're going to go inward focused as well. What's going on in the inside? And so with Gemini, Gemini has a shadow twin. So with Mars retrograde, we're really going to look at the shadow twin. And Geminis are so clever and ignoring their shadow and even outsourcing their shadow to someone else, because there's the fun, the funny, the clever Gemini, and he's flitting from person to person and making everyone laugh and having a good time, making great connections. But really, you know, he doesn't stay long enough for there to be anything difficult happening. And as soon as there is, boom, out of there, kind of onto the next. So ignoring the shadow, not really happy to deal with it. With Mars retrograde in Gemini, he's going to look right at that shadow. And also Mars generally in Gemini can be very tricky. Mars in Gemini people can be super clever, super funny. And, you know, the sort of people that have you in stitches because they're really telling funny tales to you. They've got the gift of the gaff and they're silver tongued massively. Their minds move faster than a bullet and they can run circles around most people. But the thing about Mars in Gemini, and I really looked at a lot of celebrities, you know, Googled celebrities with Mars in Gemini, and there was no one really outstanding that you thought, oh my God, this person is so eloquent. They're fighting with their passions. They're really talking about really important things, or they're writing and producing stuff that we all need to see. There was no one really up on a platform there who was really master of the written word as far as I could see. But obviously that has its limited and resources. Because Mars in Gemini will pull apart information, connect the dots in a really wise way, and, you know, blast a hole through lies and truth. But one celebrity that really was doing that for me was Martin Luther King. He's got Mars in Gemini. He's got Mars retrograde in Gemini. So, you know, he really is bringing around truths and speaking so eloquently and exposing lies, really giving people something to understand. He's looking and exposing the shadow that was going on then and still going on to a more or less degree. And also there was someone that I felt really expressed Mars in Gemini was Mandy Rice Davies. And when the judge asked, he said, well, Lord Astor denied the affair he had with you. And she goes, well, he would, wouldn't he? You know, and that's a famous quote from her. You know, it's like that Mars and Jim are like, yep, that would have happened. You know, there's no, it's just so obvious that, yeah, kind of, yes, someone is going to lie, aren't they? It's so obvious in that way. And so exposing the lies, you know, there is the idea, and we've had plenty of this, of whistleblowers. Mars in Gemini is the sign for whistleblowers. And also, I would say it's the sign for insomnia and anxiety. And depending on where that is in your chart, of course, as well, because, you know, if it's well placed, it's on the ascendant, there you are. You need to be writing books and talking and being on WikiLeaks or whatever the platform you know that your passions involved with are. But on a podcast, maybe. But yeah. Mars in Gemini can bring about a certain amount of anxiety. Especially if you're internalizing some of that stuff, that the Mars, you know, the cleverness in the head, the brain that keeps going and doesn't stop and flits from one subject to another. It is the 3 o'clock in the morning when you're thinking about something really random and not important, and your brain is worrying. That's kind of Mars in Gemini territory. And I would say the goal of a Gemini is to integrate their shadow. That's their kind of a mission for a Gemini, because, you know, it's always the other and or the hidden. So to integrate their shadow is a wonderful thing for a Gemini. And here with this Mars going retrograde in Gemini, I think this is the perfect opportunity for many Geminis to really integrate that and take themselves to a higher level and understand themselves so much more and allow themselves to people to see that shadow so much more. So yes, with the Mars actually going retrograde in Gemini, Mars will want to end things or expose things. And Mars will bring an element of real discernment. It's like when you're juggling so many balls, you know, you've got loads of action going on in the Mars way, your energy, you've got projects, you've got work, you've got social activities. And then Mars goes retrograde in any sign, really. But here we're more working on the mental plane with Gemini. But Mars goes retrograde and suddenly you can't do that. You haven't got the energy for the other. That thing ends. The other project you were doing ends, or somebody doesn't show up, or it gets difficult and complicated. And there, with Mars going retrograde, things fall away. And what you're really left with is sort of the diamond that you are supposed to be working with. So he really does clear the way for all your fuss and too many stuff going on. That going retrograde, he allows you to really work on what is right for you and puts you in the right direction. So as much as we do fear some of these retrogrades, they are allowing you to really express your best version of you by maybe taking away some of the things you're distracted with and just going for the gold. So during this Mars retrograde, we've had a lot of, so we call it conspiracy theories, being brought out to then be shown as truths, and especially in the shadow zone of this period as well. So people have been talking. Mars retrograde will take it inwards. So you see outwardly on the newspaper stands, they're telling one narrative, but if you go underneath with the Mars retrograde, you see that there's another narrative being told, and everyone's talking about these facts and different facts and alternative facts. But Mars retrograde is, you know, right up on the top is still ignoring what's going on in the shadow and what is really censorship. You know, today, even if you mention a fact about COVID on social media, suddenly you get this little line that says, this is the right information for COVID. And you kind of think, God, they're still playing that game. When we know about this, we know what the truth is. And then obviously there is the Twitter files that have been released. And this is so Mars retrograde in Gemini. Now, if you think Elon Musk, he bought Twitter. They started the deal in April. He concluded the deal on the 27th of October 2022. And Mars went retrograde. And Mars was stationing then at that point, 8 degrees. He was sitting there for 2 weeks at this retrograde spot. But he went retrograde 4 days later, on the 31st of October. That was our Halloween gift of Mars going retrograde at Halloween. So Elon bought Twitter on that day, and whoa, what happened? As soon as he bought it, he unraveled all the censorship, all the lies, all the kind of complicated little games that were going on at Twitter, and all the business deals that they were creating with the FDI, the American government, you know, governments globally. He unraveled all of those things. And guess what? The Twitter files, or the first version of the Twitter files, they came out in early December, which was when we had the Gemini full moon. That was when we had the Gemini full moon, which was conjunct Mars retrograde. I mean, I think you can't make this stuff up. That was a real, you know, coup d'etat here, where we really got to see information being exposed, and more information on different levels, alternative facts, all different ideas just coming to the fore, things that we'd never really believed but would have thought of. So that's a special gift of Mars in Gemini going retrograde, obviously. Now, what's interesting about that is that Elon Musk's Mars is in Aquarius at 22 degrees Aquarius. So it would have been trining this whole retrograde period. And, you know, he would have been creating the benefits for that. And also his ascendant is at 29 degrees Gemini. So we know from, if you listen to last week's episode, we talked about the 29 degrees, the anaretic degree, where it brings about a crisis. You have to finish that job. So to have an ascendant at 29 degrees, there is a really important job for you to do here. And so with Mars in Gemini, must have been retrograding through his 12th house, it's like he really had a role to do. And this was a perfect expression of Mars retrograde for the native and for the actual the globally for us all. Which brings me now to this week with Mars leaving that shadow. He's leaving on the 15th. And really, that should be the completion of a journey. It's like a little set piece where we begin the story, we get right into the story, and then we fold it up and complete it, and we're done, we're moving on. Where I think this is slightly different this time. But perhaps that is true for you. Perhaps you have completed a different journey. You've gone off on a tangent and it's gone and completed for you. Now, for me, Mars is right on my MC, which the MC is the career point, or it's the highest point you can go. It's where you're heading in life. And Mars, having a Gemini up there, Gemini's on my MC. So I'm heading that way. I'm heading in a Gemini. So I've worked in the media all my life. So that is an interesting way for that to play out. But also, Mars this time, when he crisscrossed over my MC, completely redirected me, not in a career sense, but more in a, I was living in a house with a Gemini, and he completely took me out of that situation and put me somewhere else. And it's almost like the trajectory I was heading in was just not right for me, and it had to be moved in a different direction. And actually, on this Gemini, who has a Sun conjunct Saturn, we actually on the Gemini full moon, which was basically on her Sun, on that full moon, we had a massive bust up. And thankfully, I was already on the trajectory to move out of that house, and I moved out of that house. I couldn't believe the precision of this Mars Gemini and what it was doing for me. And because I had been kind of worried about it moving because it was my career, but really it's pushed me off in one direction, in another direction, and I now live somewhere else. And maybe that is the end of the story, but I really feel like the as I've mentioned before, that the beginning and the end, when the planet moves into and out of and turns or stations on any point of the two ends of the shadow, it's very important what's going on at that point, because, you know, it's like the twist happens on those points. And I feel it's really interesting to see the twists that are happening now, because I feel like this isn't the end of the story. The fact that Mars is making a square to Neptune at the doorway, to the closing doorway, it's like Neptune is boundaryless and completely is leaving that doorway open. And I will explain. So the doorway is at the 25th degree of Gemini on the 15th. But on the 14th, Mars comes up to meet with, makes a square to in early 25 degrees. And Neptune is at 25 degrees, 2 minutes of Pisces. So Mars makes the square on the 14th, Tuesday the 14th. And a Mars square Neptune is kind of the deception, like wake up to the deception. You know, this is a dream shattering, like kind of a moment where you go, what? Wake up. Well, you know, and you suddenly realize something, you know, that Mars kind of really points the finger, and the Neptune delusion suddenly just gets shattered. But also, you know, there is magic to be had within that, behind the deceit. It's that moment in the Disney films where something shatters and you're horrified, and yet something more wonderful then it comes around. It's the, you know, the journey that you go on. But really, in that sense, with the magic and also the shattering of dreams, it's Mars square to Neptune. You know, the boundaryless Neptune, the dream world of Neptune, is like, be careful what you speak of. Be careful what you are saying, because the gods might hear you. It's like that energy. The gods are going to hear you and take you literally. So this is a really good day to think about what your dreams are in a really pure way, without any anger and without any misgivings, because the gods are going to hear all of it. So On the 14th, Mars squares Neptune at 25 degrees. And on the 15th, Mars is still at 25 degrees, but leaving the shadow now. And not only is he leaving the shadow, still in square to Neptune, but the Sun comes along and squares the Sun comes along and meets Neptune too. So Mars isn't just squaring Neptune, he's squaring Neptune and the Sun. And it's like, wow, this is such a powerful meeting or squaring, should we say. And when the Sun comes along to Neptune, he's going to highlight all those conspiracy ideas, all those dreams. They're just going to come out fighting. Yes, we are here. This is who we are. We want to be known. We exist. And it allows the ideas, the dreams, the even the delusions, you know, the half-truths to be taken more seriously. And also when the Sun meets up with Neptune, it's also there's a real spiritual opening coming around. It has hugely spiritual, mystical connotations. And it's like the Christ force beaming earthly meaning, real understanding and vitality to those to what we're imagining. And, you know, what may appear weird or irrelevant, suddenly it's like, wow, I get this now. I get it. I understand so much more. And whilst the Sun and Neptune are still at 25 and Mars is at 25 degrees, along comes Mercury, who at the start of this, back on the 14th, was at 22 degrees Pisces. And as they all move across the 25 degrees and past Neptune in the square or with the conjunct, Mercury comes along and kind of transits them all, because Mercury is quite fast moving. So he's going to move past all of them at 25 degrees to come up to 26 degrees before the others. So by the 16th, 17th, Mercury is ahead of all of them and he's at 26 degrees. And at that same point, we've got the Moon conjunct Pluto. Whoa. So this set of days from the 14th through to the 16th, 17th is really powerful opening of the shadow, of a realization about the shadow, of dreams being shattered, but also magic occurring. And, you know, with the spoken word of saying something and it will literally happen. Yes, the gods will be listening to. They're listening to what you're not saying, potentially, as well as what you are saying. So it's a really good idea for a big purge and to understand what you're not really dealing with in that Gemini sense. But I do believe that this Neptune with the Sun and Mercury are really kind of leaving the door open for this Mars leaving the shadow zone. Normally there is a completion, and this energy here is really busting things wide open. If you thought that the conspiracy theories were kind of mad or unrealistic, just wait. There's more for this. And this Neptune door opening is like, this door won't shut. It just won't shut. The fact that the Sun is giving so much power to Neptune and Mercury comes along with his ideas and connections so Mars is trying to leave this shadow zone. And it's like these guys are going, no, there's more of this to run. And now we're just going to really leave it to blow sky high and just be the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, I've said this before, there's too many opportunities just flying past for the Epstein client list to be revealed. But, you know, there's also the ideas of our off-planet beings, the full disclosure of what's really going on. You know, things like this is so unbelievable that most people won't believe it. And there's so many things out in the mainstream that people find unbelievable that they go, no, it's not true. And somehow with this, these things are going to be augmented and potentially brought into the mainstream or given more delusional aspects to them, more conspiracy theories. Because Neptune is absolutely winning the day here. His openness, his boundaryless, the smoke and mirrors, he's opening the door to more of the type of action Mars retrograde in Gemini likes. So this is more of this, not the end here. This is more, but also more that's going to be taken much more seriously because Mercury and the Sun are there too. You know, this is really Sun as a vital force, bringing real earthly and Christ-like energy to it. Yes, this is real. So let's see what does appear. And now Mars is going to continue through Gemini and kind of pick up speed now. He actually leaves Gemini after his 7 months journey on the 25th of March. And then he enters Cancer. And when he enters Cancer, the first degrees of Cancer, he will be making a trine to Saturn in the early degrees of Pisces. So, and these two are going to stay in a kind of trine for a couple of weeks. So Saturn with his steadiness, bringing stability to the emotional world, but bringing an exacting kind of deconstruction and a restriction that has to be then be busted out of and created into something much more stable. You know, he's bringing energy to Mars in a really emotional world of Cancer. And so there's this flourishing of the Pisces-Cancer axis of these two water signs, which are hugely emotional. And they are bringing about the healing, the arts, you know, the love. And so there's a stability there. There's an energy and an increase in energy around those things, which is wonderful. It's like we're learning this stuff and now we can express it. There's new art to be had, new ideas to have, because now we've understood these Mars retrograde in Gemini, new layers of truths. We've got new things to express, a new emotional landscape to go there, to actually go there. And Mars will give us the energy to do that. And Saturn will give the consistency and the stability. So that's a really nice, loving note to end this week's episode on. So please, again, tell me anything that's happened to you in the Mars retrograde in Gemini period. I'm really interested to know how it has affected other people apart from just myself. So thank you for listening.